Obama want to make you poor and pathetic. We have all their white papers. They hate you. They hate prosperity. They hate God. They hate children. And goddamn, going to find the lever to beat these people. And they're going to be beat. Look at her shark face. Have to look at her with that demon face. That's a freaking demon. We're going to have President Linda Blair, people. And I'm not going to go along with it. You want to overrun us and poison us and take our families and kill us? You will die, not us. You anti-human crap. You already killed everybody I know. You already killed most of my family. Bastards. I hate you. We have scored a direct stab in those sons of bitches' hearts. We gotta keep running the knife in, though, folks. We gotta keep running in there, not worry what they're doing, Dodgers. You want to fight? You're getting it. The age of men will return. And they're not going to get their computer grid, self-driving car, nanotech, Panopticon in place fast enough.
Oh, 2015 was a wild time, wasn't it? Welcome back, folks. This is AlexJonesLive.com, War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I want to play a clip from Tucker Carlson here in just a second because we're sticking with this theme. And I think all these themes sort of come together because the dirty little truth about the video that I showed at the top of this hour of the Indian guy explaining that India does not have the capability of understanding, let alone enacting and upholding themselves, Western values. That's true for everywhere. That's not the West. You understand that? This is what I've explained over and over. Like, India is a sort of extreme example of where the sort of scam artist mindset gets you, where it's just like all the diplomas are fake and all this. It's scam upon scam. But I mean, look at a place like Mexico. Very American in history, very American in sort of composition. A republic, it had a revolution, free itself from a European power. I mean, you know, there's a lot of similarities there. But in Mexico, every time you get pulled over, you got to give the cop $100 or you get beaten. It's just a minor difference. You tick up the tolerance meter for corruption, just like a point or two. You live in hell world. So it's really important that we keep that tolerance dial all the way at its lowest point. We want no tolerance for corruption, no tolerance for graft, no tolerance for grifting, no tolerance for scams. Right now, we tolerate literally everything, and it's why our country is being destroyed. And it's why I ended up going viral yesterday. I didn't even realize it. I put out a tweet and really not thought about it much, and I didn't realize. Apparently, it was becoming a big topic of discussion online, because I got a lot of these guys muted, James Lindsay, these types. I don't see their tweets, but apparently they were saying all sorts of stuff. Basically, I put out a tweet saying that if we had a benevolent dictator, that we could probably solve 90% of America's problems in the first couple of weeks, and within a year, we could be living in absolute paradise. And then I expanded on that, saying that I literally think that if we plucked somebody from the Midwest with a few minor prerequisites and just picked them out of, wherever, Texas or Kansas or wherever, and just plopped them into DC and said, you are now the king. For the next year, for 1 year, your word is law. What should we do? And I bet they'd be able to fix things. I bet they'd do a hell of a lot better job than the system we have now. And then, of course, it's people like James Lindsay being like, this is the right wing is flirting with authoritarianism, I assume. I don't know. I didn't actually read what he said, but it ended up on the sidebar of X as like a trending topic, top news story. InfoWars host suggests a benevolent dictator could solve all of America's problems. Now, here's the thing. My suggestion that we pluck somebody out of the Midwest and crown them king for a year is obviously flippant and unserious, but it's also obviously true that a dictator could, a benevolent dictator that was genuinely motivated by a desire to simply make America function correctly, could solve all of our problems in a week. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not nothing like that. I mean, it would not even be that hard. It would take a couple orders and everything would just like the sun would be shining, the rivers flowing, the birds chirping. I mean, it's like deportations. And that's basically it. I mean, you do deportations and it's not like we have a lack of manpower. It's not like we don't have the largest army in the world 10 times over. It's not like we need to be suffering under endless invasion by hostile foreigners. This is a choice we're making. And so, you know, obviously, James Lindsay, he's a sort of a, I don't know, what do you call a teacher's pet that doesn't even go to school? Like a, he's just like a pet, I guess. He's just like a pet of the powerful. And so, of course, he's going to be like, oh, you know, wringing his hands and fretting. Oh, but what about authoritarianism? I mean, if you're going to make somebody dictator, it's like, listen, idiot. Did you think that was a serious suggestion? Did you think that was a legitimate policy suggestion that this is something that we should actually do as if there would be any function of ever doing that? Because here's the thing. It's not possible for that to happen in our current system. Obviously, duh, because what that would require would be probably both houses of Congress coming together to appoint somebody king for a year. Like that's how Rome used to do it. Rome, the Senate would come together and go, things are getting bad. We need a dictator for a year. Go get Cincinnatus. And they'd find a guy on his farm and go, hey, get your sword. You're going to be the king for a year. And he's like, all right, cool. And he comes and does it, cleans everything up, goes back to his field. It's like what George Washington did. There's actually like kind of a historical precedent for this. It's actually a corrective measure that's kind of necessary in democracy. Otherwise, you get the situation that we're now in. But that's the only way it could ever happen, because what I'm describing is somebody with the full power and capabilities of the United States government wielding it with authority. So that would require the government to be functional and to be willingly handed over to this person. That there's no possible way that will ever happen in this country. That would require having a unbreakable majority in both houses of Congress filled with right-wing extremists, okay? It's never going to happen. And even if it did, I doubt we'd even have to appoint a dictator then, because the problems would probably be solved anyway. But in order to get to the point where like a dictator of America is even possible, it means the government would have to be totally destroyed, is what I mean. Like it's incompatible. Either you have a government and we're in the mess that we're in now, or we're in civil war and the government is non-functional and everything is in collapse. And then you can, you know, maybe have the strongest force in the country appoint a leader and be dictator that way. But there's no possible scenario in which the current manifestation of the American government would ever be willingly handed over to a dictator. So anyway, the point is, like, to even treat that suggestion as serious shows that you're kind of like a humorless idiot. But to not acknowledge that it's true makes you a liar and a schemer and a scam artist. I'm trying to think of a metaphor kind of like this, because this is like we're chained in a basement somewhere. And I'm like, oh, man, if we had a gun to shoot our way out, we could free ourselves. And the other guy chained next to me is like, yeah, but guns are dangerous. And then you might be tempted to shoot somebody else. And it's like, well, tell you what. We'll deal with that eventuality when it comes. But why are you trying to tell me not to do the thing I need to escape because of a potential of abuse down the line? Like, we're being destroyed. We're being absolutely destroyed. So, of course, they're going, you know, people like James Lindsay are going to come in and go, oh, God, the authoritarian right. Oh, they're at it again. And they don't understand the importance of not having a dictator. I need to educate them on power corrupting. Absolutely. And I'm just like, it's a year. Give it a year, okay? We'll tar and feather the guy at the end. If it doesn't work out, what's the big deal? I don't see the big deal. The point I was making that he obviously understands and is deliberately trying to obfuscate is the fact that none of our problems are real. None of the problems in America are happening to us. We are doing it to ourselves. Our leadership hates us and is destroying us on purpose. And the only thing necessary to correct just about everything wrong in this country is the rigorous application of existing law. That's it. That's the answer. That's the solution. And all you need is somebody with the will to do it. So no, I don't think there's any possible way that we get, you know, make our way to a American dictator for a year. And that's what dictator was. In ancient Rome, a dictator was a position that was temporary and it would last for 1 year and then it was over. It wasn't a pejorative. It wasn't an insult. It wasn't something that you call a politician you don't like. It was a official position in their government structure. But I'm obviously right, right? Like, does anybody think I'm wrong? Is it hard to shut the border? Trump did it by saying, hey, the border should be shut. You know what else he could do? He could say, I order you to deport every single illegal immigrant in the country. And you have infinite resources. The entire military is at your disposal and you just need to do it. And if a judge tries to intervene, we'll deal with it. But you just keep going in the meantime. That would be, you know, a dictator could do that. A dictator could go, hey, do that. And a dictator could go, hey, take over BlackRock. Hey, I have an idea. Go arrest Larry Fink and take over BlackRock and put my lieutenant in there at the head of BlackRock. Because what's happening right now is we are in a very real, in a very tangible way, losing our sovereignty over this country. And they're building the operating system that will serve as our AI liege lord from now on. Palantir is creating the corporate superstructure that will govern America if they succeed, if they're able to carry this out. So we're losing our sovereignty, and it's up to us to reclaim it and regain it and insist that the what's best for America as a nation has to be prioritized above what's best for Larry Fink or BlackRock shareholders, because they're the ones destroying us completely. Until we accept that and recognize that and understand that all of the problems that we face on a daily basis are a choice, are a series of choices made by people who despise you and want the bad outcome, well, we'll never break through and we'll never get over it. And it's especially important to talk about this in the way that we're talking about it, because we have to understand that just like Indians will come over here and be incompatible with the vulnerabilities of our society, that very same mindset dwells within the brain of Alex Karp and Larry Fink, right? They have a different culture. They have a different belief system. They have a different moral structure. And if they're in charge, they're going to destroy us. I want to go to a video of Tucker Carlson here now, clip 25. He's saying what nobody else is saying. Wait a second. Wait a second. This video was posted saying that Tucker is saying what nobody else will, but I say it all the time. Hold on a second. I've said this for years. Thank you very much. And that is that Israel is engaged in a dual campaign of both ensuring their nation's permanent success and status as an ethnostate, while simultaneously those very same people are hollowing out America and telling us that white ethnostates are the most evil thing in the entire world. So here's Tucker Carlson breaking it down. I don't know if I'll play the whole thing, but it's a good monologue. It's very important to understand why our government does the things that it does, why it makes the choices that it makes, and where its priorities really lie. Here's Tucker Carlson on the hypocrisy, if you can call it that, of Israel supporters here in America. Let's watch. 25.
They say out loud, effectively, our deepest fear is that the United States will be some kind of ethnostate with a racial majority that's white. That's a huge fear. Even as they say that, they demand that Israel remain an ethnostate. Here's a tweet. And there are many, but here's just from Don Bacon, the guy you just heard calling that poor woman anti-immigrant, a hater, a bad Christian. Here's his definition of support for Israel. And this is a tweet he sent this fall. Zionists believe the Jewish people should have a homeland called Israel as promised in the Bible. If you don't think Israel should exist as a Jewish state, then I'd say you're an anti-Semite. You're an anti-Semite if you don't think that Israel is inherently and has a moral right to be, a biblical right to be, an ethno-state, not just a state, a Jewish state. Now, a lot of us are kind of agnostic on this question. Israel wants to be an ethno-state? Fine. I mean, okay. Not my country. Not too upset about it. Feel sorry for the mistreatment, the murder of Palestinians. But a kind of core tenet of nationalism is each country gets to define its purpose and its vision for itself. And if it's not your country, it's kind of not your business as long as they're not forcing you to, say, pay for it, which they are. But let's say they weren't. And Israel wants to remain an ethnostate. Fine. It is an ethnostate. Don't know why it's embarrassing to say that. Don Bacon just said that. You're an anti-Semite if you don't want it to be a Jewish state. Okay, fine. Fair enough. Don't agree with your definition of anti-Semitism, but it's very important to Don Bacon that Israel will remain an ethnostate, and very important to most members of Congress. They'll tell you this. But it's at the same time repugnant, the idea that the United States should be an ethnostate. In other words, their number one goal as a policy question is to keep Israel an ethnostate while preventing the United States from being one. What is that? Why are those goals the inverse of one another? And why are they so important? You would think a leader of our country would be completely agnostic as to the demographic makeup of Israel. Why does that matter to us exactly? What effect does that have on the United States? Why is that our concern? Again, as long as you don't have to pay for it, your weird apartheid system, or the murder of your racial opponents, we shouldn't be paying for that. But as long as we're not, how many members of Congress are standing up and saying it's really important that China remain 95% Han Chinese, or it's bad that they remain 95% Han Chinese? Members of Congress don't even know what the ethnic mix of China is. They don't care. But they know a lot about the ethnic mix of the United States and Western Europe and Canada and New Zealand and Australia, and they're very opposed to those countries remaining majority white. It's one of their main complaints about Russia, by the way. They fixed that problem in Ukraine because this war, which has been supported from day one by the very same neocon lobby that got us into the war with Iran, that lobby has extended this war with U.S. and now European tax dollars to the point where so many Ukrainian men have been killed that Budanov, the number two in the Ukrainian government, just the other day announced we're going to have to import Africans to live and work here because we don't have enough men. We're going to have to change the demographic mix of Ukraine for all time. For all time. We're going to do what Genghis Khan was unable to do, which is totally change the composition of who lives in Ukraine. So Ukraine as a nation, the nation that existed 5 years ago, will cease to exist, period. And its farmland will likely be bought by foreigners, because that's now legal under Zelensky. So you just saw the elimination of a European country as it existed 5 years ago. And you saw that not simply because Putin rolled over the border and invaded sovereign Ukraine. You saw that because Western elites pushed that. That has been their overriding goal for the past 4.5 years. So now you're starting to understand that the goal is to allow really one ethnostate in the rest and not allow any others. Now, why would that be the goal? And the truth is, no clue. No idea. That is so weird.
I know. I can tell you.
Doubtless there is some explanation. Maybe it's theological or spiritual. It's above my level of understanding. But just noting the behavior and the public statements of everyone involved, that's clearly the standard that they're holding this country and the rest of the world to. One ethnostate and one ethnostate only. And by the way, only one country with an inherent, quote, right to exist. And if you press them, and I have, they will admit only one country has a right to exist. We may enjoy having certain countries exist, and if they can defend themselves, they can continue to exist. But only one country possesses an inherent right to exist. And that's also the only country that has a right to be an ethnostate. No European country possesses that right. So why bring this up? Well, because there's no avoiding it. That's why. Not because it's a comfortable topic. Not because the people in charge are going to be happy to hear it. They won't be. But because you should know it. We are in a moment of profound change. Whenever you're staring down the barrel of global famine, which we are, and the end of our longstanding system of energy production and distribution, which we are, whenever there's a real possibility that someone uses nuclear weapons, which we face, despite whatever they tell you, that is real. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. It could happen. You are looking at a world that is resetting. Big things are changing. Not just little national borders, but much more than that. The collapse of empires, the rise of others, maybe even more than that. So you should know the motives of the people involved. And there is no topic that reveals motives more clearly than the question of speech, which is the foundation of freedom in all countries at all times, and is the basis of our system of government. Democracy cannot work unless people are free to say what they think is true. Because how can you cast an informed vote if you don't know the facts? Well, if you're prevented from speaking honestly about what you think those facts are, of course you can't cast an informed vote and the entire system falls apart. But it's even deeper than that. You cannot tell a sovereign human being what he must say or believe, period. Because those rights are inherent. Human beings are born with the right to say and believe what they think is true. That right was given them by God, not by government. So if you take it away, you are by definition treating people as subhuman. You are telling them you cannot speak because you don't possess those rights because I consider you a slave. So this really is the difference between freedom and slavery. So whenever you hear people say, using whatever pretext they come up with at the moment, you're not allowed to say that. You are watching an attempt by the people in charge to enslave the people they rule over. And you are, and it brings great sadness to acknowledge this, you are watching right now the people that, if you're watching this, you may have voted for, the president and the constellation of supporters around him, office holders around him, call for censorship.
So it actually goes a lot deeper than he's even saying. So to answer the question he was saying, I have no idea why, you know, people in power are obsessed with the ethnic demographic of Israel and why Israel has a right to exist, but that right is not extended to anybody else. Why the same people that are obsessed with destroying the ethnic population, changing the demographic of white countries, believe that Israel has an absolute right to exist as an ethnic Jewish state. It's not all that complicated. In a word, it's globalism. Globalism is the unity of these two concepts. Communism, to dissolve national borders throughout the entire world, plus Zionism, the belief that a Jewish state in Israel is a, you know, fundamental requirement for humanity or something. So Zionist and Zionism will be protected from everything, right? Look around, right? I mean, they can literally kill thousands of children for no discernible reason, and they get away with it. They can do whatever the hell they want. Now, the way this gets really dangerous and disturbing and why we need to, you know, pay extra attention to this is because once that system's in place, with Israel as a sovereign and independent nation and every other nation dissolved into sort of corporatocracies, is that that protection of Israel and that status as a, you know, chosen person Israeli citizen will be extended to all the Jews outside of Israel as well. And I'll explain how this is being laid out, because it is actually being built out right now. The global government that will be headquartered in Israel, that will use Palantir as an operating system, is being built as we speak, and I'll show you the component parts being aligned in the third hour. Stay with us. It's The War Room on AlexJonesLive.com. That's AlexJonesLive.com.
Because of God's